Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today, I want to welcome Dr. Mark Yarbrough to the podcast. Dr. Yarbrough serves as president of Dallas Theological Seminary and professor of Bible exposition. Prior to his service at DTS, Dr. Yarbrough earned both his THM and PhD degrees there. He's also an author, having recently published the book, Jonah, Beyond the Tale of a Whale. Dr. Yarbrough, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
It is a privilege to be with you.
Yeah, look, I enjoyed catching up with you for a few moments here before beginning this recording, but I do not want to take for granted that many of our listeners may not be up to speed on you or your ministry there at Dallas or what's going on at DTS. And kind of everyone knows of DTS, virtually everyone, but not everyone is current on what's going on at DTS. So why don't you give us just a little bit of a front-end reflection on your ministry there and what the Lord's doing in these early months of your presidency and what you're encouraged about?
You betcha. Well, it has been home for me for a long time. I was a student in the 90s and started serving in 2001 in a formal role when I came to DTS and served with Mark Bailey, who was transitioning to the presidency, and Chuck Swindoll was transitioning to the role of chancellor, and worked with those men for the last couple of decades. And so when the board asked if I would serve as president, we walked through that transition process, and the Lord has just been absolutely amazing. And even in the midst of these chaotic times, I frequently tell people that the Lord does some of his greatest work in the midst of the mess. And so that's what I have certainly seen. Officially took over the helm in terms of the presidency in July 1. But prior to that, obviously, with the world coming to a screeching halt last March, the transition has just been going really since about March forward. But things are well. And enrollment is strong, and we've got a faithful group of friends that are making the journey with us. And so we're just blessed beyond measure, and we're excited about some things that are going on, new degree programs, and listening to the stories of our students, how the Lord's using them right now. And as far as I'm concerned right now, in Christendom right now is the moment for us to put the pedal down, not to be waiting for things to get, quote, quote, back to normal. It's time for us to take the greatest news the world has ever heard and to be able to proclaim it, certainly during this time of the year here in holiday season where we get to tell our story. So there you go. Things are great.
Yeah. Well, no, and God bless you. What an encouraging word there for your early months. And I'm with you. Let's move forward. Let's not respond to COVID. Let's move forward through COVID.
Right.
I guess a final word of a personal introduction. Can you say a word about your family?
We're doing great. My wife's name is Jennifer. Married my high school sweetheart years and years ago, almost 30 years ago. And our four children, our oldest daughter is married this last December, and so we now have a new son by marriage. And so our oldest son and youngest son actually are part of that COVID generation that graduated without a graduation last May. And so one who's now a graduate from Texas A&M, another one that's a student at Dallas Baptist University, locally in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And then our youngest daughter is at home at community college. And so we're just busy as ever, and they're all healthy and walking with the Lord. So we're blessed. There you go.
Well, praise God for that. Well, we're talking today about preaching the book of Jonah and really building the conversation from your recent book, Jonah, Beyond the Tale of a Whale. And so I guess before we get to the topic or the book of Jonah, explicitly, a word or two about your book. What brought that about, your particular attraction to the book of Jonah, and then the development of that interest in Jonah into a book project?
Sure. Well, I tell you what, here's the deal. I am an Old Testament narrative junkie. I don't know how else to phrase it. And through my years of study, I have just fallen in love with the beauty of Hebrew narrative. And so I've been teaching books of the Bible, or narratives in particular. So Ruth and Esther and Jonah and the patriarchal narratives, and the beauty and the mastery of the Hebrew language, of how it formulates a narrative, is just fascinating to me. And so it really, I've had some wonderful professors through the years that really kind of turned me on to looking and evaluating narrative in particular. And so as I've been teaching the book of Jonah, I finally had some people that pulled me aside and said, hey, look, you need to put this in writing. And so B&H convinced me to get it published. And so it came out just a few weeks ago. So there you go. That's kind of what led to it. It's a powerful little narrative.
Yeah, it really is. And I've preached through Jonah, I believe, twice in my ministry. And man, I've loved every bit of it. And both times, and in fact, really not even with this podcast today in mind, I found myself in recent days flipping through the book of Jonah and just reflecting on past sermons and thinking, is there a chapel series here, you know, that maybe I should preach through for our seminary community? And so, it's just a great book. So I guess having said that, then make an argument for us as to why you would encourage pastors to consider preaching through the book of Jonah.
You bet. My greatest argument is to say is that it unfortunately has, for the most part, in most churches, I'm not branding everybody, it has been relegated to the nursery or to children's church or to children's ministry. And unfortunately, my experience is that there is a misunderstanding of the book of Jonah, or at least a partial understanding. And here's what I mean when I say that. Chapter one is, hey, we got a renegade prophet, and everybody knows you shouldn't run from God. Chapter two, you've got him inside the large fish. Chapter three, he finally goes, and there is a slaughtering of what to do with chapter four. And so the book of Jonah, in many ways, is taught through the beginning of chapter three when Jonah finally goes. And so it's been relegated to the nursery, and there is a misunderstanding of the book, and that is across the board. And so I think there is actually a wonderful opportunity to communicate the truth of Scripture, which we would do with any Scripture, but certainly as it applies to the book of Jonah, because it's a book that people think they understand, but they really don't.
So, yeah, and that phrase is what I want to build upon here. He says, a book that people think they understand, but they don't. And a lot of people think it's just about a guy who gets caught in the belly of a fish.
Yep.
And but even that story of being, you know, being swallowed by the fish is more nuanced and thorough and intriguing than even that part of the four chapters gets.
Oh, yeah.
But so I guess for our listeners, what are the important parts of the message of Jonah that are commonly overlooked?
There are parts that are overlooked that, unfortunately, unless you really dive into the Hebrew narrative part, you'll just flat out miss. So as an example, the book of Jonah is really full of puns and play on words. And it's very difficult to move a pun or a play on word from one language to another. So I'm always careful in the way that I phrase this because, you know, I don't want to say that you can't understand it without understanding Hebrew. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that an understanding of Hebrew narrative and a technical commentary, or someone who has really studied the book in depth, is that its richness comes out. And you see that in words that are used repeatedly or puns that are presented that the Hebrew ear undoubtedly picked up, and it makes the book come alive. And unless someone is guiding you or helping you understand the richness of the language, it's frequently overlooked and it's just missed.
So for pastors or ministers who listen to this podcast, who are hearing our conversation and man, they're thinking, you know, I ought to give Jonah a look. I ought to preach Jonah, but perhaps there are some difficulties there I should be mindful of. What do we need to be on the lookout for in that regard?
Yeah, look at how the author develops and purposefully compares characters. So take as an example, in Jonah chapter 1, he's introduced right as Jonah, son of Amittai. And so you've got something going on there, because as we know, Jonah, right, literally means dove. And even in Hebrew today, in Israel today, you say Jonah, and someone you're talking about a dove, or it could also be a proper name. Well, when you think of how the Hebrew ear understood that, they thought Jonah, okay, Jonah is a picture by name even of peace and tranquility. A Jonah was a sacrificial bird in the book of Leviticus. And so there's irony from the very beginning, because Jonah is anything but what his name means. Amittai is probably a play on word that sounds exactly like another Hebrew word for truth. And so you're set up from the beginning. The author has set us up to realize this man is not who he claims to be. Now, when you start comparing him as a character in the book to, let's say, the Gentile sailors that we meet in chapter one, we realize there is huge irony, because the Gentile sailors do what Jonah was supposed to do, but refused to. They try to save his life as a Jewish prophet that is running from Yahweh, when Jonah, the prophet of Yahweh, was running lest the lives of the Gentiles were actually saved, because he was supposed to be going to Nineveh, right? And so it's just full of irony and play on words, symbolism. It's a true story, but the author has just packaged it in a way that is supposed to, the Hebrew ear just, it resonates with them. So part of this is slowing down to see the art form of the narrative itself.
So the whole notion of calling is prevalent in the book, of course. The Lord calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, but he goes the other way, right?
Yeah.
And so help us to think about even that sense of calling, that concept of calling, in the ancient world, in Jonah's life, and then what application can we draw for 21st century ministers and preachers who are often called to undertake a ministry of the word to audiences that are not receptive in contexts that aren't inviting?
Yeah. Well, I'd say first and foremost, it's just the issue of being faithful to the calling. And when you look at Jonah in particular, when it says the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, arise, get up and go and preach the word of the Lord. It's interesting because that particular phrase, and I'll come back and answer your specific question here in just a second. That specific phrase is what I reference as the prophetic mandate. In other words, it's the exact same phrase that shows up all throughout the calling of other prophets. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, and then it says, and Elijah went. It's the prophetic mandate. It shows up like 18 times in the Old Testament. And so here's the irony of the text. The irony is that Jonah, the prophet of God, heard the word of God and refused to obey. And the further he went out of what God had called him to do, his life was in a downward spiral. In the narrative, it's so heightened. He went down into the boat. He went literally down in underneath the boat when he fell asleep. He gets thrown overboard. He goes down into the belly of the fish. He goes down to the bottom of the earth when he's thrown over originally before he's swallowed. So here's the point that the author seems to be pushing us, that when you hear the call of God on your life and you refuse to obey, you're always going to find yourself in a downward spiral. Okay, now that's true out of the book. The author goes to great lengths to make that argument for us, but that is still true of us today, that when we know that God has called us to do something and we refuse to obey, we're never going to find ourselves at peace until we find ourselves actually doing what God has placed us to do, and that's his calling. So I have that discussion with pastors today or individuals that think they're supposed to be called to the pastorate, and I'm like, hey, if this is what God's called you to do, I'm telling you, you're never going to have any sense of satisfaction until you do what he has led you to do. And I think that's an important thing for us, especially today where the Lord is calling his people to serve in a variety of ways. And I'm not just talking about the local church and a pulpit ministry. I'm talking about when the Lord makes it very clear to someone that he has called them to a particular ministry or to serve in a particular way or to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the greatest way to find peace in your life, because you're at peace when you're in the middle of God's will.
When you think about the book of Jonah, you get to the end of the book, and not to just dash there, but Jonah is a conflicted man, a conflicted prophet, and really it goes back to the issue of him being prejudiced in his own life. And so,
yeah.
I guess, give us a little synopsis of that theme and how it culminates in chapter 4, and then what that might say for contemporary ministers and the world we find ourselves in as we record this conversation in late 2020, probably listen to in early 2021.
You bet. And what a great question related to that book. In chapter 4, verse 1, on the heels of chapter 3, verse 10, where the text says, after the Ninevites and led by their king, the king of Nineveh, they repent and God relents and does not bring upon them the destruction that he had threatened. That's chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 1 is an astonishing presentation. It says, and this burned, this angered Jonah. And it's there that really the story comes crashing down, because we all kind of thought that Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he was afraid of what was going to happen to him in some dark Assyrian alley. And that's not the case. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh because he hated the Ninevites. And there is a great confrontation, to come back to your question, is that what we see in the book is that it really is an issue of grace. If you are a grace recipient, you are called to be a grace giver. And in our modern day moment, I think that it is a healthy moment for those that are redeemed by the work of the cross need to remember that we stand in grace, and there is no room for judgment against any person in terms of condemnation simply because of who they are. That's what I mean. That the grace of God is available for all who believe. And so here we are in this moment of time. You know, the church should never miss an opportunity to condemn racism, for sure. But when you look at that, I think what the book confronts us with is that Jonah had failed to realize that he was a product of grace. And so for any child of faith in the Lord Jesus, we need to realize that it's always by grace through faith, and that if our lives have been changed, but not because of what we've done, but because of what God has done for us, then that means that we're simply called to be grace givers and grace products that are showing people that it's not by us, but God's grace is there for you if you just accept his son, Jesus. So it's a huge moment in the book, huge moment.
Well, and there's a huge point of application here for our listeners because, look, the book begins with Jonah's rebellion and then Jonah experiencing the grace of God. And then Jonah, again, towards the end, this issue of not wanting the mercy of God to appear before the Ninevites. And so I guess for me, even as you read the book, and for our listeners, that it's the old maxim is true. There's, you know, failure is never final as long as there's the grace of God. And yeah. You know, and Jonah experiencing this grace, wrestling with it, as you just referenced, really overlooking it because it should be applicable to the Ninevites as well. But I know we have listeners to this podcast who they are listening to this, and the truth of the matter is they really flubbed it a month ago or a year ago, whether God's calling and operating out of fear as opposed to faith, perhaps some other leadership flub, perhaps some sort of ministry flub. What would you say to our listeners who need to be encouraged by the message of God's grace as it relates to the life of Jonah and can relate to their lives as well?
Man, I appreciate you asking that question. I'm going to take it back to the book and then I'll answer it. Because, you know, when you get to the end of chapter 4, God and Jonah, right, have this back and forth all the way to the very end. And it ends in a question. And God, in essence, says to Jonah, should I not be concerned about that great city? That's a rhetorical question, in a sense, because we know what the answer is. The answer is yes. God had said that there are 100,000 people that do not know their left hand from their right. We don't know whether he's talking about kids or he's just making a point of saying, hey, there's a whole bunch of people that didn't know me. Now look what's happened. They have come under my protective wing. They've repented of their sin. And so we see something, and it saved that generation. And there is no answer from Jonah. Right? And that's an amazing thing in the book. It ends that way. There is no answer from Jonah. Okay, so now let me answer your question. There's no answer from Jonah because, as readers of the story, God wants to know how we answer that question. So God wants us to see that there is an opportunity to trust him to be products of that grace ourselves and to extend that to others. And God is continually giving us, as long as there is breath, he's giving us second, third, fourth chances to adhere to these moments where he calls us. Because what God wants to do, and he wants to know right now, so if someone's listening to this, my response is to say, I'm not worried about your past. I'm not worried about your failures. I'm not worried about what you've done. We've all got those stories. What we need to do is we need to get over that and say, right here, right now, how does God want me to respond to his calling on my life? And he wants to know how we're going to answer this moment. So if somebody's listening, that's what I'd say. I'd say, quit listening to the words of the evil one that wants you to remember your past failures and say, right now, in this moment, what does God want from me? And to act and live accordingly from this point forward. That's what God wants to know from you at this moment.
So let me tee you up with one final question to maybe pull this conversation together.
You bet.
And that is this. Help us find Christ or get from Jonah to the message of Christ. And how would you help us to connect those dots?
Yeah, I would make that move to say that if God is calling, He is working in your life, that we're products of His grace, Ephesians chapter 2, that for it is by grace that we have been saved through faith. And it's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. That God has called you beyond your failures and in spite of your failures and because of your failures. And that the giving of His Son has paid the price for our failures, for our sin. And that here we are in this Christmas season or this post-Christmas season, depending upon when this season airs, that we can revel in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, that our great God came into our mess to pay the price for our sins, and that those who believe in Him, as the great passage of John 3:16 says, will not perish but have everlasting life. And so in many ways, the old story of Jonah is the challenge that the Lord has had from the very beginning, for us to trust Him and to follow Him in the way that He has provided it for us on this side of the cross, is to see what He's done to the giving of His Son. And so what a privilege it is. And there's the connection from the book of Jonah to the cross of Jesus Christ.
Well, Dr. Yarbrough, we'll have to leave it there, but I really appreciate your time today and the conversation, and want to point our listeners to your book, Jonah, Beyond the Tale of a Whale, out where books are available through B&H Publishers. And I hope it gets a wide and far reading for you. And we wish you and DTS all the best in this new season of leadership. May the Lord richly bless you and all that He's entrusted to you.
And thank you very much. May the Lord bless you all as well.
Thank you for being with us today and for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, go to my website, jasonkallen.com. That's jasonkallen.com.